Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, Brandon Kiley here. And to my right, repping Alex Gordon's two favorite teams, the Nebraska Cornhuskers and your Kansas City Royals. That's how you know baseball season and spring football are right around the corner. The one, the only, Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
Good, man. How are you doing today? Beautiful day outside. It's like 60-something. Sun's out, and then it's supposed to get icy tomorrow. See, this is why February is better today. Just for days like this.
And then tomorrow, it's going to be terrible once
again. Yeah, I know, but you don't get days like this in January, my friend.
No, it absolutely sucks. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. Hopefully you have a very special evening plan. We've got a great evening plan, as we do every Valentine's Day. Rex Hudler, Jennifer Hudler will both join us in studio coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. If you need a little bit of a pick-me-up because the weather has you down, or you need some tips for love, Rex Hudler and Jennifer Hudler, they will be in studio today. We'll talk a little bit of Royals baseball as they are down in spring training in Surprise, Arizona, trying to get ready to win more than 58 games this season that they didn't do last year. There's a lot of stuff to get into in today's show, but where we got to start is giving you a chance to win a prize.
Today's the final code word, C-Dot. Today is Thursday, and it's the final code word. We're doing something really cool with my guys over at Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. You can check them out at SantaFeAutoSound.com. All right, here's the deal. We've given you code words right at 2 o'clock. We'll do it again at 5 o'clock. Giving you a code word on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. And then today is the final code word. And tomorrow, if you're the fourth caller, when we tell you to call, and you can correctly tell us each of the four code words this week, you're going to get yourself a nice little $400 prize package from Santa Fe Auto Sound. You got $400 to spend as you please. You want a remote car starter? You want to upgrade that audio? You want to get working on some video head units? You want to put a stereo in your motorcycle, your boat? $400 can hook you up to Santa Fe Auto Sound. So today's code word is Cupid. Today's code word is Cupid is the code word, C-Dot. Have you been shot by Cupid?
No, I have not been shot by Cupid. Neither has the University of Kansas. There was a story today from CBS Sports and our guy Dennis Dodd that I would be very concerned about if I was Kansas. To summarize it a little bit, Kansas officials are concerned that a formal NCAA infractions case may be developing into the basketball program after a recent reinstatement ruling, several sources told CBS Sports. Sources at Kansas that are close to the reinstatement process involving forward Silvio DeSosa and familiar with the NCAA process said a door could be opening to one of the first formal infraction cases to stem from a wide-ranging FBI investigation into college basketball. Of chief concern to Kansas is the designation by the school of Adidas representative T.J. Gasnola as a booster. I do think it's fair to point out that they were using that as a hypothetical. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Of Kansas athletics in the Silvio DeSosa case, earlier this month, the NCAA ruled DeSosa must sit out for the remainder of the season and next year because his guardian received money from, quote, a university booster and agent. That dual designation came as a surprise to Kansas officials, who say they only agreed to designate Gasnola as a booster. Kansas athletic director Jeff Long described publicly on February 1st how the school had to designate Gasnola, quote, as a hypothetical for the DeSosa reinstatement case to continue. There are certainly problems with KU on the court. Those to me seem to pale in comparison of, if the NCAA is about to knock on the door here very soon, it's about to be a very uneasy time in Lawrence.
Well, and I'm surprised it's taken this long, to be honest with you, because you've got the text messages between T.J. Gasnola, Adidas guys, and Curtis Townsend saying that he would do whatever it took to get Zion Williamson on campus. And I think we all know what that means, right? There's usually cash involved.
I actually kind of wish Konzo Martin was in those text messages because I was willing to do whatever it would take to get Zion Williamson on campus at Missouri.
So, I mean, it's surprising that KU was surprised. I mean, come on now. I mean, you had Bill Self. They've got phone messages with this T.J. Gasnola guy from Adidas that essentially tells you what's going on. That they're talking and Gasnola is feeding players to Kansas through Adidas. That's exactly what's going on. And the same with Curtis Townsend and Zion Williamson. We tried to get them on campus. And one of the frustrations that you and I have had, and I'm coming around to your side of this, C-Dot, is that Curtis Townsend and Bill Self are finding this thing, and Silvio De Sousa can't play basketball this year or next year. And more than likely, his college career is probably done. Unless he decides to stick around and play his junior, senior year, whatever it is. So to me, I don't think it's looking good for KU. I think the hammer's about to be dropped in Lawrence, Kansas on this basketball program. And when I say that, I'm talking postseason bans, probably some scholarship reductions. And I cannot see a way for KU to get out of this thing. To me, it's completely obvious that the NCAA Infractions Committee is going to come in and drop the hammer on Kansas, and I think it means there's going to be a postseason ban potentially and possibly some reduction in scholarships. It's going to look a little bit like what KU looked like in 1989, 1990, when Larry Brown had a bolt town and Kansas couldn't defend their national title because they couldn't go to the NCAA tournament.
This is the first time I've got a chance to play this in 2019, and I can't tell you how giddy I am for it. You don't know what happened to Kansas?
Oh, I say it again, you've been had, you've been took, you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
The NCAA did all those things to Kansas. If you're going to go by KU store, you remember that Saturday game after the Silvio De Sousa news, Jeff Long, I would say, had that very powerful press conference. This is what he said. Quote, the NCAA told us they would not consider reinstatement unless we included that information. I think that the NCAA this whole time knew there was not a solid case against the University of Kansas. So they got you to do the work for you having the hypothetical of including TJ Gasnola as a booster. And I can read you the NCAA definition of a booster. That's exactly what TJ Gasnola is. They are now going to use the information that you tried to get Silvio De Sousa eligible to play this season. They are going to use it against you. He then goes on to say, quote, if we did not include the hypothetical, they would not consider reinstatement until after the enforcement investigation was complete. So KU, in their right mind, did what they thought was the best way to try to get Silvio on the court this year and do right by him. Now, you can argue whether how pure it was, certainly trying to help their basketball team, trying to make Bill Self happy. And I think the NCAA is going to turn around and they're going to use all that evidence to eventually try to get KU. This is how the NCAA defines a booster. Quote, a representative of a university's athletic interest. Quote, a person who seeks to obtain any type of financial gain from a player's enrollment or from a player's potential earning as a professional athlete. Kansas fans, be honest here. That's exactly what TJ Gasnola was.
He's a booster.
He was a representative who was operating in the best interest of Kansas University and their basketball team's interest. Now, again, I've said this time and time again, and I'll say it here because I don't want anybody to confuse it here. I think this happens everywhere. Now, you can argue at certain schools, like if I am a Nike program, it is in my best interest for Kentucky to have the best athletes. It is in my best interest for Duke to have the best athletes. If I work at Adidas, it is in my best interest to funnel the best players to the University of Kansas as my marquee school. But that's what happened here. If I'm Kansas, I would be very upset. Now, you have a lot of reasons to be upset. How they treated Silvio De Sousa, I think, is incredibly unfair. But again, I think the NCAA is going to use you fighting to get Silvio De Sousa eligible and you going down the slippery slope of hypothetically considering TJ Gasnola to be a booster. They're going to use that information to now try to penalize you.
I think that's exactly what they're doing. And I can't believe that KU fell into this trap. If they really want to not get dinged and not have the hammer dropped on them, why would they, in the world, would they let the NCAA admit to TJ Gasnola being a booster? Like, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And they're in a tough spot because I guess you can look at it from this perspective. They're trying to do right by Silvio De Sousa to try to get the kid eligible because it's not fair what happened to him. Whether his guardian took the money without Silvio knowing or not, it doesn't matter. They dropped the hammer on him. And as I said last week when all this stuff came down, it looked to me like they're pulling the Al Capone treatment on Kansas. They're basically putting a really, really, really tough penalty on Silvio De Sousa, like, you know, when they convicted Al Capone of tax evasion and not murder. I mean, what Silvio De Sousa is getting for a guardian taking $2,500 is way too harsh.
2 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I'm surprised that KU fell into this trap. I thought they would be smarter than this. Now, that being said, I think based on the text conversations that we've seen between Curtis Townsend and TJ Gasnola and the phone transcripts between Bill Self and TJ Gasnola, they're probably going to get what's coming to them anyway. You know, so I just have a hard time seeing a scenario where the hammer does not get dropped on Kansas in the near future.
I want to read this part here. Asked whether Kansas was being set up for a formal investigation, the source told Dennis Dodd, quote, it certainly appears that way. Now, we might have different definitions of what the hammer is. I'm not a KU fan. I can't speak for a KU fan. But I would say taking the banner away, not the hammer. Mm-hmm. I would say taking the streak away, not the hammer.
No.
Certainly not favorable. Nobody wants to see banners come down. But all of us, I think, are still going to say, man, for $2,500, KU won the Big 12 last year. KU went to the Final Four last year. Same thing happened with Reggie Bush. You can't tell me that Reggie Bush didn't win the Heisman Trophy. Sure. Now, I might look in the history books, and it might have an asterisk by it, or might be vacated. Reggie Bush won the Heisman Trophy. So they can't take those things away. I would be worried about future stuff they can do. And this is one thing I'll be on everybody's side with. If they're talking about taking Kansas from the Big 12 tournament, that's not good for anybody. I don't care if you cheer for Missouri.
Even
I don't,
if they deserve it? And this is coming from a KU fan, even if they deserve it.
It wouldn't be good for anybody. You're telling me what's best for Kansas City, Missouri is Kansas not being able to play in the Big 12 tournament?
So you're saying
telling me the best thing for our profession is Kansas?
Wait a minute. Yeah, but all I'm saying is, so teams can break rules as long as it's good for the Big 12 tournament, is what you're telling me.
I don't care about these rules. I think the rules are wrong. That's just where I'm different than everybody else. If you want me personally, who already thinks that the athletes are being undervalued and deserve more than what they're getting, to be really outraged that Silvio De Sousa got $2,500. If that's the case, then nobody should be playing postseason basketball, because you want me to believe, the NCAA wants me to believe, that Kansas was willing to do whatever it took to get Zion Williamson, but he just decided to go to Duke for free? You want me to think that Anthony Davis went to Kentucky for free? You want me to think that John Wall went to Kentucky for free? All these top guys are getting paid, so I just don't care.
Who's this kid that went to Georgia too and over Kentucky? I don't. You're more of a recruiting guy than him, but one of the top guys in the country went to Georgia over Kentucky. Like, I don't get that either. I understand where you're coming from, CDOT, but the thing is, the rules are the rules right now. Whether you like them, whether you don't like them or not. And if they were violated, then I think there needs to be enforcement. And if if KU went in there and essentially said, yeah, Gasnola's a booster, a hypothetical, whatever the hell they want to call him, in Dennis Dodd's report, then they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. And whether that affects the Big 12 tournament or not, I don't care. Because I know you can't be completely clean. I know these coaches and these programs, to be at the top level, you've got to operate in the gray area of life. I get that part of it. But it appears to me, based on what we're seeing, that Kansas took it a step further and got caught and fell into a trap with the NCAA.
If I was a KU fan, I'd be really worried about postseason ban. Someone on the text line says, no way the NCAA bans KU. They ban Louisville. I would just be worried about it. I just don't know how you can see the current climate in the NCAA and think that they are going to be even-handed in their punishment. Think about what just happened in Missouri. Think about what just happened to Silvio De Sousa. You got a chance here with Kansas, at least it would appear, to set. If you cheat the level we think KU is cheated, not we, I mean we meaning the sure. NCAA, the NCAA, I think, believes KU has done some shady stuff to get recruits. I think they are going to try to make an example of KU because the FBI stuff has made the NCAA look terrible. The NCAA, I think, like most big-time businesses and most rackets, which I consider the NCAA to be, they don't want to look dumb. And the NCAA in this, I think they are maybe a little bit surprised at how widespread it was. I mean, think back to some of the information that we got. It wasn't just Kansas. It wasn't just Duke. It wasn't just Kentucky.
It was Arizona.
They had Creighton trying to pay for kids. Man, I don't think the NCAA wants us to know how many of these universities, how many of these teams we cheer for have widespread, rampant cheating. But I'm not talking about $2,500 that Silvio De Sousa got. I'm saying paying for people's cars, paying for apartments, fake classes. I don't think the NCAA wants us all to know what it takes to keep these kids happy and to keep these kids eligible. And then whenever a kid is going to transfer, somebody like Kelly Bryant, somebody like I don't think they want to know why. They don't want us to know why kids choose these schools that they eventually end up choosing. If I was a KU fan in this, I would be nervous. I'm not trying to fear monger. I'm just saying is to hear from this, a formal investigation and a source close to the situation told Dennis Dodd, who's been doing this for, 30 years?
Long time.
Lives in Overland Park.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it certainly appears that way. I don't got to tell you guys, you do not want the NCAA knocking on your door, because eventually they find something.
They will. And look what North Carolina did in the class that they had, for almost 20 years. It was a fake class that athletes could take. Guess what happened? The department head didn't talk to the NCAA, neither did the secretary. They didn't volunteer any information. They refused to cooperate with the investigation. Nothing happened in North Carolina, essentially. KU classified this guy from Adidas as a booster. And now they're gonna feel the wrath of the NCAA, in my opinion.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we got a very fun Meanwhile in the News, a Valentine's Day edition. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But, Fanny, you think it's time for the Chiefs to cut Justin Houston and Eric Berry? We'll talk about it coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Joe Flacco trade to the Denver Broncos. The NFL media is coming in hot and heavy, and not many people like the trade. But on SB Nation earlier today, they had 27 veterans who could be cut during the 2019 offseason. They had one from your Kansas City Chiefs, and it was Justin Houston. Houston's still a crushing pass rusher, but the Chiefs aren't flush with cash and will have to figure out what to do with D Ford this offseason. Cutting the four-time Pro Bowler would give Kansas City an extra $14 million to spend, but can they afford to shed any big-time playmakers from a defense that already proved to be its Achilles heel in 2018 is what SB Nation wrote. You think the Chiefs shouldn't just be thinking about cutting Justin Houston. EB might be on the way out too.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel good to say this, but that's exactly the way I feel. I think this is the perfect time right now to not be afraid of change. Listen, Eric Berry's played, what, four games in the 2 years since he signed the deal? And as far as we know, he hasn't had his surgery yet. Now, it could have happened. I think one of the last reports I saw, he was up in Green Bay talking to a foot and ankle guy and trying to figure out what they were going to do. And I think that was according to Brett Veach when he spoke to the media via conference call last week. So, I think this is the time now to not be afraid of change for a couple of different reasons. First off, I think we all agree that we're probably going to have a top five, top three offense in the NFL next year. Safe to say, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, maybe even the number one offense in the league again. So you're going to basically be, you're still putting up a ton of points on the board for sure, right? If you get rid of Houston, I mean, his cap hit this year is going to be $21.1 million. Barry's going to be $16.5 million. Now, the Barry thing's a little bit different because Houston's guaranteed money is already up. Now, my hope would be that Justin Houston would be willing to restructure. But I think it's very simple. You go to him and you say, we want you here, but we can't afford you at this number. We'll restructure and keep you here, or we're going to cut you. Because I'm in favor of keeping Justin Houston only if he restructures. If not, you got to cut him. The other part of that, too, is you've got a completely new defensive staff. You've got a new defense. You're going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and you're bringing in this Matt House guy that I was talking about earlier this week. You were making fun of me on CDOT, but this guy developed to the best defensive player in the league right now, and Aaron Donald developed him at Pittsburgh, and a guy who's projected to be the number two overall pick in the draft, a guy by the name of Josh Allen, a rush end out of Kentucky. So you're bringing in a completely new staff, a completely new defensive scheme, and I don't need to run down the defensive numbers and how bad the defense has been over the last 3 years here in Kansas City. So it's kind of a little bit of my Marcus Peters argument from last year, but a little bit different. I'm like, people were afraid to lose Marcus Peters on the 29th worst pass defense in the NFL.
They ended up being right.
Well, I think Marcus Peters probably would have been the difference in getting over the top there for sure. I would agree with you on that. But at the same time, why are we so afraid to make massive changes from the personnel side of the defense when it's been this bad? Chris Jones is a guy that I want to build around for sure. Kendall Fuller appears to be a guy that you can build around. I want to see some of the young guys, too. I would love to have Justin Houston back on this football team, but he's got to restructure, and if he doesn't, he needs to go. And Eric Berry, I'm sorry. Ton of respect for that guy. Come on now. Everything he's done in Kansas City, everything he's been through, you love him, but four games after signing that deal, I think it's time for him to go, too. I'm just saying, at this point, why be afraid of change on the defense? Because what we were doing before didn't work with the guys we have. Now, I know there's a new scheme and a new coordinator, but I'm not afraid of massive change on the defense right now.
I'll play devil's advocate here. What if the massive change is having a defensive coordinator that you think can get the most out of the parts on their team? Because I don't know necessarily if that was happening with Bob Sutton. You've been here. We've taken calls. We've read text. We've studied it. How many people have complained about how Bob Sutton used Justin Houston? Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue that Justin Houston is still 26 and considered one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
He's 30.
But when I'm thinking about a team last year who we agree, the foundation of this defense was the ability to get to the quarterback. And somebody who, if you're going to bring D Ford back, I don't know if I'm rolling the dice with Steve Spagnuolo because he coached Aaron Donald in college that he can get the most out of Breland Speaks this year. I don't know
it's
if
Matt
I'm
House,
trusting
like the D-line coach, yeah, is what I mean.
I don't know if I'm trusting a whole lot of this team's ability to get the most out of Tano Passanio because I ain't seen it so far. If you're going to be an all-in year, Super Bowl or bust kind of year, I'm going out with some dogs. I'm going out with guys like Justin Houston. Now, fundamentally, I agree with you. I don't think any team in the NFL is paying Justin Houston $15.2 million next year. So, Justin Houston, you ain't got to go to him and say nothing. You got two options. Do you want to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs? Let's find a number that works for both of us, because we're certainly happy to have you back. If we can't find the number that you're willing to come back at, hey, roll the dice. Play on another team that doesn't have close to the chance of winning the Super Bowl that we have. Don't you want to see this thing through? You should know, if anybody, how close this team is. If we can get 5% better on defense, 7% better on defense, we can be playing for the Super Bowl. So Justin Houston should want to be a part of this. There is no team better set up next season to go to the Super Bowl with just a small amount of changes than the Kansas City Chiefs. Houston, he should want to be a part of that.
I'm with you on that. I agree with you 100%. I hope he wants to be a part of that, but at the same time, he may not want to give up that money.
If he don't, then cut him.
Yeah, beat it. You got
to
go.
But really quick, Brad, no one is going to pay Justin Houston. I'm with you. Maybe he doesn't want to give up that money. Tell me what team in the NFL at 30 years old is paying Justin Houston $15.2 million next season. Tell me the team that's going to do that. No team in the NFL is doing that. So to me, Justin Houston is in a situation, he don't have a choice. You can either work it out with the Chiefs, or go try to find a two-year, $20 million deal, try to get $10 million guaranteed and see what happens on the open market. I don't know how many teams are willing to spend big-time money on a guy in Justin Houston who hasn't really shown the ability to stay healthy. So there's no team going to pay him 15.2. Not Kansas City, not the Jets, not the Patriots, not whatever team in the NFL. Not any team in the AAF is paying Justin Houston $15.2 million.
They got like $70,000 in the AAF.
So it comes down to, do you want to be a member of the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Are you willing to find a number to make it work?
And I hope he does. I want Justin Houston on this team, but if he doesn't, he has to go. You talked about you didn't like the way, you know, Justin Houston had to drop into coverage. The other thing with this Chiefs team, though, too, man, they couldn't stop the run. And when it mattered most, they couldn't do it. I mean, when it mattered most, they could not stop the run and they could not adjust.
Couldn't stop the pass when it mattered either.
Well, yeah, they couldn't do that either. That's what I'm saying. So right now, if you want to make radical – if Spagnuolo and Andy Reid and the Chiefs want to make radical changes to that defensive roster, I've got no problem with it. I mean, I think the Chiefs have already shown that they've made radical changes to that coaching staff. Hell, Andy Reid's son is no longer the defensive line coach. Andy Reid's friend was relieved of duties as the defensive coordinator. They are making massive changes to the coaching staff, and so I am not afraid, based on the offense that we got coming back and some of the young dudes they have on defense, that I'm not afraid of it anymore. Because I used to be in the camp of, man, I don't know, you get a new coordinator, you take a look at Justin Houston, but if you franchise Dee Ford, man, if Eric Berry, I'm done with that. You know, if Justin Houston wants to come back at a lower number, I'll take him. As for Eric Berry, as much respect and as much of a fan as I am of him, it's time to go.
I want to play this for you. This is James Palmer of NFL Network. Here is what he said. He's based in Denver, Colorado. Here's how he said that the Joe Flacco trade came together.
They looked at this draft class, they looked at their own roster, and when everybody came together, the decision landed on Joe Flacco. And as Ian said, this happened quickly. On Monday, they wanted Joe Flacco. They moved quickly, and it shows that this is the guy that, from Vic Fangio to John Elway to Rich Scangarello, their offensive coordinator here, they believe he fits the system. And as Ian said, it also gives them flexibility moving forward. Now with the 10th pick, you don't have to do something at the quarterback spot. Now you have some flexibility with Flacco.
I don't know why the Broncos are making me angry, because I don't really care how they do. So he just said now they don't have to draft a quarterback 10th overall, even though they can agree they don't have their long-term future at quarterback right now. Now, maybe it's possible that the Broncos just don't like anybody in this class. They don't like Locke the way they've at least portrayed the way they like Locke. They like the quarterbacks in next year's draft, and next year's the year they're going to make a move. I'm not John Elway. I don't know. Let me read you the story, though. This is from Mike Clies. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He's based out of Denver, Colorado. He's essentially their Sam Mellinger. The Broncos did kick the tires on Nick Foles, but Flacco was deemed better fit. Why, you ask? Well, one, Flacco has played considerably under center, and their new offense will have a QB under center plenty. Foles more of a shotgun spread quarterback in Philadelphia. And if Flacco gets $25 million or more, Flacco is a better value at 18.5. Who's a better quarterback? I'm asking honestly. Who's better, Nick Foles or Joe Flacco?
I mean, I think the answer is Nick Foles based on what he's done in the postseason in Philadelphia. I think the answer is Nick Foles.
I don't even think it's close. BK, who's better, Foles or Flacco?
Foles.
So, Yortz, this is what I don't understand about coaching, about sports, about anything. If your system can't fit more talented players, the problem is not with the more talented players. Your offense is the problem. Your offense in 2019 can't handle a quarterback that can play out a shotgun? What sense does that make? What quarterback are you going to draft if that's the case? I watch a lot of Missouri football. It's not like that Drew Locke was taking a lot of snaps under center. They were doing a lot of shotgun. I watched a lot of Baker Mayfield in college. He was taking a lot of snaps from shotgun. I watched enough Patrick Mahomes in college to know he wasn't taking a whole lot of snaps under center. It's 2019. You're telling me that your offense can't accommodate a quarterback that is a primarily shotgun-based quarterback in 20? Then you don't need to be coaching in the NFL. I'm on your side now. I don't know what the Broncos are doing. Yesterday, yeah. I kind of understood, but now learning about their offense and that you can't handle a more talented quarterback that takes snaps from the shotgun, but you had to adjust your system for what 34-year-old antiquated, washed, arm is shot Joe Flacco tells me everything I need to know about the people and then their ability to develop quarterbacks.
I don't understand what the Broncos are doing either, man. It doesn't make any sense to me. So now I think we've proven that John Elway can't draft quarterbacks, and now he makes the wrong picks with the exception of Peyton Manning when it comes to guys and bridge quarterbacks he wants to bring in. Fair to say? I mean, is that fair to say?
I mean, I can't fault anybody that believes that.
Yeah, so I don't understand that either. It feels like Elway's locked in 1987 right now. It really does. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Elway was in the shotgun a hell of a lot back in his day, too. I don't get it, man. I really don't understand what the Denver Broncos are doing right now. One of the reports I did see on NFL Network last night when I was watching, they were talking about how screwed up the Denver Broncos are right now because the team's in a trust. They don't know which member of the Bolin family is going to take it over. Elway basically has free reign when it comes to who he wants to bring in, who he wants to draft, all that stuff. It sounds like the Broncos are an absolute train wreck, and the guy that's making all the calls is clueless when it comes to quarterbacks, and he just happens to be one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks, but first, we got a very special Meanwhile in the News. This is one of my favorite ones so far this year. It'll be a lot of fun. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll all take a minute, plus we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. You know, today, if you don't have a date, if you're not having, you know, Valentine's Day plans, maybe go into Twin Peaks, get yourself a cold brew, maybe, you know, load up on some chicken wings, you know. Then maybe you'll play. That'll cheer you up a little bit. I don't know.
There's going to be some dudes in Twin Peaks tonight. Yeah, probably some single guys for the ladies out there that are looking for a Valentine.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll get into the Kansas City Royals. Salvador Perez thinks he knows who the opening day starter is. We'll tell you what Salvi had to say coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll give you some of Brad's love doctor tips coming up momentarily. But, BK, let's hit it.
Meanwhile, in the news.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news.
You're a f***ing newsman. Did I ever tell you otherwise? You punch me in the face.
The Drive Witness News.
So before we get to Brad's love doctor tips, I want to share a couple of news stories with you guys. We don't got to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I have questions, you know? You two are in happy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You're just recently married.
Mm-hmm.
BK's been with the same person for 6 years, which is basically like being in a marriage.
You got him going to Shane Company yet or not?
I'm working on it.
All right.
So I want to play a couple of news stories. This first one is from Fox News. This is the average amount of money that men spend on Valentine's Day and the average amount that women spend on Valentine's Day. And I just want to know, brothers, fellas, y'all not going out like this, are you? Tell me you ain't going out like this.
And a new survey from Bankrate reveals that when it comes to Valentine's Day, men plan to spend an average of $339 on their partners, while women expect to spend on average about $64. So what's the deal?
$339 is the average amount of money that fellas is out here spending on Valentine's Day. The only way this makes sense to me is if they're factoring in if you buy an engagement ring. That's the only way. The average? $339?
Let me think about it, though, C-Dot. I'm not spending that much. I'm not going $400 on V-Day. That ain't happening.
What are you buying her? Xbox? What are you buying her? PlayStation 4?
No, I don't think
where you buying her plane tickets to Aruba?
Yeah, maybe.
$339?
I mean, if you go down to Capital Grill, you have a nice dinner, and we're talking like low end to high end, right? I think the high end guys are the ones that are putting this over the top, or the guys that are willing to set an unrealistic bar for themselves for future holidays.
What are you buying her, a Lexus?
I don't know, man. They're doing something. But if you go to a nice dinner, you go to Capital Grill, you have a bottle of wine, three cocktails, whatever, and you get a nice steak, you're looking at $200 right there, right, aren't you?
I mean, where, Capital Grill?
Yeah.
No, you're looking at $400
okay,
in your
scenario.
Okay,
then there you go. There you go. So, I mean, you're looking, that's probably where a lot of this comes from. Now you got to factor in flowers. There's $75 for you.
So. BK, brother, I'm trying to learn here. You're telling me. Listen to this foolishness.
And a new survey from Bankrate reveals that when it comes to Valentine's Day, men plan to spend an average of $339 on their partner.
BK, you telling me you going out like this? You going out with $336 tonight?
No. That's $336 to spend.
Yeah. I already caught my fish, too, man. I'm not still fishing. I already caught my fish. You know, I got 75. I'm in for 75 for the flowers. I got delivered to the hospital, by the way, which went over well today. One of my tips that I gave you earlier in the week, I follow my own advice. Got some dinner tonight. I'm probably going to be into it maybe $130, I think.
I want to play this for you. BK, just let me know you're not going out like this, bro. I just want to know. So I want to play this for you. This is Russell Wilson, future Hall of Famer, I believe. One of the top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. I just want to know if you think this is corny. Because you've been talking about handwritten notes and candles. Absolutely. And then drawing her bath rider.
Sure.
This is
sure.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
This is on social media. Listen to what he says to his queen, Sierra.
Baby, you're my greatest love for several reasons. I think, first of all, you inspire me. The way that you care for others, the way that you make the world a better place, how dedicated you are to being great, truly inspires me. I think, second of all, the mother that you are. You know, how you take care of our children and how you care for them and go wherever, whenever for them is the most amazing thing ever. You know, I think third of all, you make me a better man. You challenge my faith. You increase my faith. In the Bible, it says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And I found a good thing in you. And I think finally, you're the sexiest woman on the planet, the bad to the bone. And I'm glad to be your husband and take care of you and provide for you. And yes, I will fix your wig. And yes, I will do whatever you say. I love you, and you are my greatest love. Love you.
She has a wig. She wears a wig.
I don't know.
He's going to fix it, though, if she's wearing it.
I don't know. I just – Russell's my favorite player in the NFL.
Yeah.
I love Russell Wilson.
Do you still love him as much?
If there was a video of Patrick Mahomes doing this, I would advocate that he gets traded by the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. Whatever
like,
team.
Like in the division?
To whatever team. I don't care if the Broncos called and they were the only team to offer.
They wouldn't do that.
Trade Patrick Mahomes to the Broncos
He's a good quarterback, so that would never happen. John Elway would never make that deal.
Russell Wilson had the same voice that you had talking to Brandon a couple days ago.
Baby, you're my greatest love.
Baby, you're my greatest love. Russell, don't tell me you're going out like this, King.
No, seriously, here's the thing, man.
Come on, King.
I mean, that's essentially the handwritten note, but it's public. Like, that's the part, and maybe it's my age. I don't know why you got to go public with. I don't know why you got to go public with everything you feel.
Baby, you're my greatest love.
Baby, you're my greatest love.
Baby, you're my greatest love.
I'll fix your wig.
Baby, you're my greatest love for several reasons.
Anytime you got to go to third of all, you're doing too much, my guy. He said third of all.
Yeah, he's trying.
Bro, you get a first of all and second of all. That's it. You don't get anything after first and second. Yeah. There ain't no third of all. And he called her bad to the bone. Russell Wilson talks like a 51-year-old man.
He's going to fix the wig, too.
That's all I got. That's my meanwhile in the news today. Mm. Well, we heard from one Dr. Love, Russell Wilson. Let's hear from another Dr. Love, Brad Fanning.
3 great tips from Dr. B to make your V-Day have a happy ending, if you know what I'm saying. I've been giving the do's and don'ts for the dudes. Now, Carrington, you tell me this. I know at least a third of our 9 listeners at 3 o'clock are, in the 2 o'clock hour, excuse me, are ladies, right?
We only got 5.
No, we got 5. We have 2 ladies that are listening at least?
5, 7, 9, 11.
My bad. Okay.
That's how it goes.
So for the 2 women that are listening right now.
Pay attention.
I got some tips for the ladies today for their man. I mean, this is a no-brainer, man. Tickets. We'll take tickets to anything, right? Opening day, concerts, whatever you want. And here's the thing, though. Here's the key to the tickets. When you get the tickets for the guy, let him know it's his choice to use them how he wants, man. He wants to take his buddies. That's okay. It's a gift. He can use it as he pleases. Because I'm telling you, man, men love a long leash. We love the trust. We sure as hell don't want to get micromanaged in our relationship.
I mean, nothing says I love you like buying me tickets to a 58-win baseball team. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine right now,
Bae comes home tonight. You're really excited to see your gift.
You give me tickets?
She gets you 2 tickets to a Royals game in
June.
Damn
right, I'm in. I'm ready to go, man. I'm all fired up.
I'd rather have the $64 women spend on average.
This is going to be kind of corny, but get them a couple of good shirts. I know that's not romantic, but if you get him a couple of shirts and it's the kind that he likes, not the kind you like and the way you want him to look, he's going to love you for, because every time he puts it on, he's going to think about you. And then if somebody compliments him on the shirt, he'll say, yeah, my wife, my girlfriend got it for me. I love it. So I'm just telling you, that's a great little option right there, because every time he wears, he's going to think of you, babe. Finally, and this is a way to get straight to my heart, give me a six-pack. I mean, free beer is always a win-win. I mean, you give me free cold beer, I mean, that'll make my leg move like a dog when you scratch its belly. So I'm telling you, tickets, concerts, sporting events, a couple of nice shirts, free cold beer, he'll love you forever.
Yo, this is how
those
I know.
Are my tips.
This is how
for the ladies out there.
Men suck. You're telling me that your wife can come home after all you've done. You send flowers to her job. Yeah. You're cooking a nice dinner today. Yeah. All she has to do is go to TJ Maxx and get you two decent shirts. And then on the way home, when she already has to get gas because she's at a fourth of a tank, stop in there and get you some Boulevard wheat.
Yeah.
She can be out of this thing for $35, and that's a great Valentine's Day.
Because that means now I don't have to go shop for shirts, and I got free beer that's cold.
We got to do better for ourselves.
And then you throw me a couple of John Mellencamp tickets. Forget about it.
Think about all the stuff you've told men to do for your lady.
Oh, I know. But we're simple. We're cavemen. We're animals.
You've told men to write handwritten love letters.
That's true.
And buy candles and draw baths.
They're different creatures than we are. They have many more layers than we do.
One of your gifts literally was a six-pack. You're telling me that they today can pull up with a six-pack of Modelo and that's all you need?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Make it a 12-pack and it'd even be better. You can go 12-pack, too. I got no problem with that. Maybe even a 30-pack.
That's exactly why the numbers are all off.
And a new survey from Bankrate reveals that when it comes to Valentine's Day, men plan to spend an average of $339 on their partners, while women expect to spend, on average, about $64. So what's the deal?
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. I know this. If I spend $300 on my wife and she only got me a 6-pack, we're going to have issues. That's real. That's what I'm saying. All week, all you've told us to do is go above and beyond.
That's right, man. That's the way it works. Valentine's Day is more important to them than it is to us, man. Let's face it. It is. And so you have to be able to recognize that. I mean, I don't see how hard this is. C-Dot, you can fight the man all you want. You can fight the system all you want. I'm trying to give you great tips going forward. I got 18 years more experience on you here, dude. You're not going to win this battle if you try to say, hey, you only gave me a 6-pack. I'm giving you that didn't work that way. It's not how it works. You want a happy home.
A 6-pack. I'm just saying, want better for yourself, King. That's all I got. Coming up in a little bit, we'll learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, and why he spent $336 on his girlfriend for Valentine's Day. We'll learn more about that. We'll also give you a chance to win $25 for Twin Peaks, so you can get him the $25 Twin Peaks gift card and the 6-pack. And I'm telling you, coming out ahead. And we'll all take a minute. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate. National prizes with local coverage on 610 Sports Radio.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into your Kansas City Royals as they are getting ready for their season down in Surprise, Arizona. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll learn more about BK and why he spent $400 on his lady for Valentine's Day. I'm sure that's going to be a great story.
Is he going to fix her wig?
Got to do that. Hey, baby, you're my everything. You're a bad mamma jamma. You're bad to the bone. That's what Russell Wilson said. He can't be my favorite player in the NFL
a nerd,
anymore.
I mean, Russell Wilson's a nerd.
I got to find a new favorite player in the NFL. Russell Wilson, you're not my favorite player anymore in the league. I'm picking Case Keenum. I like him.
Okay.
We got a lot to get into in this segment. BK, go ahead and hit me. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I found great enjoyment out of reading this story yesterday. You guys remember that Colin Kaepernick Nike ad when people were all in a tizzy about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one Colorado man decided, you know what? I'm putting my foot down. I'm shutting down my business with Nike. There will never be another swoosh in my business. It did not go well for him. Check out the tape.
Colorado Springs sporting goods store that refused to sell Nike apparel after last year's Colin Kaepernick campaign has announced it is going out of business.
The owner telling News 5 he can no longer afford the monthly lease after running that store for over 20 years. News 5's Laura Wilson spoke with him today.
Primetime sports owner Stephen Martin told me that he doesn't regret taking a stand against NFL players like Colin Kaepernick and Brandon Marshall in the past, but he admits refusing to sell Nike apparel in his store came at a big cost.
being a sports store without Nike is kind of like being a milk store without milk or a gas station without gas. How do you do it? They have a monopoly on jerseys.
So my man decided, because of the Colin Kaepernick stuff, he said, you know what? I'm done with the swoosh. Well, you work for a clothing store, and you know what? Now you're at a business, sir. And then he went later on in the story. I wish they had put this on tape. You know what he said? Mm. As much as I hate to admit this, perhaps there were more Brandon Marshall and Colin Kaepernick supporters out there than I realized. Well, good luck to you, sir, and whatever your next endeavor was. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of happy that this happened. That's my minute for the day.
Are there milk stores out there? That's what I wanted to know out of this thing, too.
No, I don't think there are places that primarily sell milk. But, hey, I'm all for this. If you want to take the stance that this gentleman had, hey, that is your right as an American. If you agree with Colin Kaepernick, if you disagree with Colin Kaepernick, that is certainly your right. This gentleman took a hardline stance. You know what?
He paid for it.
If you're willing to pay the cost to be the boss, then go ahead and do so. But, gentlemen, you know what? You just could have kept it moving. Nobody even talks about that Nike ad anymore. Mm. You were really upset.
I kind of forgot about it.
You were really upset about that two-minute commercial in which Colin Kaepernick, all he did was narrate, and then he showed up for 30 seconds? Strange to me. Very odd. Very odd.
BK, can I have a minute, please? See, Dot, this is a story for your own heart, I think, man. Matt Kuchar, PGA Tour player, one of the best in the world at what he does. He won the Mayakoba Classic in November down in Mexico. The check that he got was for $1.296 million. The problem was is that Kuchar's caddy wasn't, his normal caddy wasn't with him. So he picked up like a club caddy. Just a dude that caddies at the club on a regular basis. Made a deal with him. Said, hey, listen, here's the deal. I'll pay you $4,000 if we win. $4,000 if we win, I'll give you another $1,000. So $5,000. Kuchar went on to win the tournament. Problem is, for a tour caddy, that's about a $130,000 payday for a PGA Tour caddy. He picked up this guy named, oddly enough, his name was David Ortiz, a guy that just caddied, got about $200 a day at the club where they played the PGA Tour event.
Big Poppy?
No, not him. Different guy named David Ortiz.
Big Poppy?
So Kuchar's getting a lot of backlash because this guy came out and started talking about the fact that he only made $5,000, even though that's what he agreed to.
This is my blanking city.
That's what he agreed to. And then Kuchar came back and said, hey, listen, how about I give you an extra $15,000? He said no. Then David Ortiz, this guy, goes public with it.
Big Poppy.
And now everybody's killing Matt Kuchar. First off, I think the one thing you never want to be labeled is cheap. Matt Kuchar looks really cheap by wanting to pay this guy like $5,000 after making $1.26 million.
Especially cheap with your friends, with your boys.
I know. So, C-Dot, you're a guy that once charged your neighbor for toilet paper. Where do you sit on this?
Well, I mean, I paid for the toilet paper. That guy wasn't my friend. That'd be different if it was you asked me for toilet paper or BK asked me for toilet paper. This is a guy I don't know asked for the toilet paper. Yeah, bro. Hey, it's $2.
So is this a bad look on Kuchar, even though he had a deal in place with the caddy?
Yes.
I agree.
He made $2 million?
He made $1.296 million. So basically
$1.3 million. And he gave my man $5,000?
He offered him $15,000 extra. The guy said no.
Yeah, because sometimes you got to fight on principle. $20,000 when you just made $1.2 million. That's what you gave me.
And again, a typical pull for a pro caddy on tour.
Shameful
stuff. Would have been about $130,000 for a win on tour. Bad look for Matt Kuchar.
You guys might call me cheap. I'm always going to take care of my people, though.
Yeah.
I'm always going to take care of my guys.
You got to pay the man. I'm sorry. Even if he doesn't want it, you make it happen. You pay this guy. That's all I got.
But ready for prime time. Get ready. Get set. It's all that.
My minute today is going to be dedicated to all that. I don't know if you saw this story earlier today, C-Dot, but I'm guessing Fanning's probably never heard of this show.
Is that a movie? Like C-Dot, like a movie, She's All That or something?
Yes. This is different, though.
Oh, my bad.
A little different.
R.I.P. to Left Eye.
All That is one of the great television shows of the 1990s. It was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
it was basically a late-night Nickelodeon television show. It was fantastic. And it went away. Went away for a really long time. But it's coming back, baby. Nickelodeon is reviving what is basically Saturday Night Live for tweens. And let me tell you.
Are you going to watch this?
We'll see. I'd probably be down. The Amanda Show needs to come back. We need to get Kenan and Kel back. We need to get Drake and Josh back. We need to get all of the revivals going on Nickelodeon. It's time for a little bit of a revival for some of the great 90s shows for kids. Like myself.
That sounds
and
awful.
Harrison. That's my minute today.
That sounds terrible. I got to be honest with you. That sounds awful. So you want to watch a Saturday Night Live for teenagers? That's what you're going to watch?
BK? It was great. See, now you remember.
You're going to do it now, though?
It was amazing. It was amazing. I'm telling you, it was incredible.
Okay, so, all right, let me open my mind here a little bit. What was so amazing about it?
I mean, just think about all the people that were on there. Like, Kenan Thompson was on there. Amanda Bynes was on there. Kel Mitchell. Like, a lot of, like, really prominent people that, like, went on to do things as adults, like, all got their start on that. Nick Cannon was on that show at one point. Like, a lot of people got their start on all that.
So are they going to bring back the same people and do, like, an adult version of this? Or are they bringing, like, teenagers back to do this?
I'm sure they'll get a completely new cast, but I think it's produced by Kenan.
Yeah, no, Kenan, he is the executive producer for the show.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait for it. All right, let's get into the three facts today. Despite what I just said, my first fact of the day, I actually preferred Disney Channel growing up to Nickelodeon. I was a little bit late, C-Don, on some of the cartoons that you grew up with, so I was more into like the tween sitcoms, I guess, if you will, that were on Disney Channel as opposed to some of the shows.
I watched those too. Even Stevens?
Heck yeah.
I watched that. Lizzie McGuire?
Absolutely.
Hillary Duff, I don't know if you've seen her lately. Still a baddie.
Really?
Still a baddie.
That's actually a little surprising.
She's got a lot of hard teeth, living. Man.
Still a baddie.
She's got a lot of teeth.
We can get around that.
Yeah.
My second fact of the day for Valentine's Day tonight, you guys know my girlfriend's 200 miles away. I am actually going to go a different route. My best friend's single. I'm essentially single here in town. We're going to the Peanut. We're going to grab some wings. We're going to grab a couple of beers. So that is my way that I'm spending Valentine's Day tonight.
There's going to be some ladies out on the prowl tonight, BK. You better watch yourself, man.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right. I've been together for 6 years. I kind of figured out how to handle this one.
I'm just giving you a heads up, man. They're going to be on the prowl because I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, you're trying to get BK caught up.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'm trying to protect the man. You go to wedding receptions and Valentine's Day and you're single, you got to watch out, man. It's like some of these ladies, man, they're looking at you like a steak in one of those cartoons, feeling lonely.
My final random fact of the day, I've seen every episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and most of them I've seen multiple times. Growing up, that was my number one show, was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What's your favorite episode?
I mean, the last one's an obvious choice. The moment when he says, "Why doesn't he want me?" That was a pretty good one. That was a tearjerker.
That's probably the most iconic one.
Yeah, that would probably be the top two.
You know what I noticed is every sitcom from the 90s has a pool episode. Every single one. Family Matters, Fresh Prince. I'm telling you, if you watched a sitcom in the 90s, it had an episode solely based on you losing money at a pool hall and somehow hustling to get your money back. I'm telling you, every single show we've watched has that episode.
Like Friends? Does Friends have one of those, Cena?
I haven't really watched Friends enough to know. Text line can tell us. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. Coming up in just a little bit, we will get into the Kansas City Royals as Fanning is very excited about the direction that the Kansas City Royals are taking. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in the pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. Today's pop quiz is a movie. BK, take it away.
I've been like Sid and Nancy for months.
Sid stabbed Nancy 7 times in the kitchen. I mean, we have some disagreements, but I hardly think I'm Sid Vicious.
I'm Sid.
Oh, so I'm Nancy.
Let's just eat and we'll talk about it later. Mmm, that is good. I'm really glad we did this. I love these pancakes.
If you know what movie that is, we call it number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll talk a little bit of Royals baseball to get you ready for the season. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.